Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888 677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. It's good to be with you on, less than an hour, it'll be Memorial Day, and I hope you'll be able to take some time to remember those who sacrificed that we can have the freedom to do just what we're doing right now, the liberty that we enjoy in this country. Well, we're going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this evening. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And use the program above all to be able to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you, as I said, tonight. And we want to remind you, you can give us a call. We're a live program. You can call toll-free with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. livewithpastoral.com, and or you can go to Facebook and you can listen to us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Our YouTube broadcast of the program tonight is shared over there on our Facebook page, so you can find us there. Encourage you to check that out. And, we're going to get into a few things here this evening. Before we get started, I want to mention a special announcement coming up on Friday. This coming Friday at 1 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, we are doing a special tribute program on the radio for Brother Bruce Musselman. Many of our listeners are familiar with Bruce Musselman, his ministry. He has been on the radio for many years here on 1220. He's been on several stations in the area in the past, and some of the predecessors to Salem operating 1220 as a Christian station. And he's familiar in many of the Baptist churches in the area. He's a longtime radio preacher, Bible teacher, church planter, faithful servant of God. He had the program Where is God's Word, that can still be heard here on AM 1220 every Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, every Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we have a wealth of previous recorded programs, but Bruce Musselman went to be with the Lord a week ago this past Friday. I'm trying to think what that was, the 15th, I believe it was. He had some health issues, and the Lord called him to be with him in heaven. And so he departed this life, went into his reward. And since he impacted so many people here in northeastern Ohio and beyond through the radio, through church planning, through teaching at Heritage Baptist Institute, also he did some teaching at Massillon Baptist College and some other places. But there's three programs here on Friday afternoons in a row. Three of us pastors that have all been impacted by Bruce Musselman's ministry. And at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, we have, of course, Pastor John Lutz, who has a program for the cause of Christ. And he is on every Friday at 1 o'clock until 1:30, and then of course we're on every Friday at 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then from 2 o'clock until 2:30 we have Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and rather than try to do three separate programs, what we're going to do this coming Friday, May 29th, is we're having a combined program starting at 1 o'clock this coming Friday, May 29th, and it'll go until 2:30. So from 1 o'clock until 2:30, it's not going to be three separate programs with the intro and the close and all of that, but we're going to do one special program. It'll have its own introduction and its own close. We'll take breaks each half hour, just like we would in between the three programs, but Pastor Lutz, Pastor Rusnacko, myself will be in the studio, and then Brother Gary Meeks, who has done much here towards keeping us on the radio and helping Bruce be on the radio over the years, and very helpful there, is also going to be helping out. And we're going to have a few special guests calling in from time to time throughout the program. We're going to have some special clips of Bruce Musselman, and then the four of us will be also reminiscing, of course, about Bruce and his ministry. So if you're familiar with Bruce Musselman, if his ministry's touched you, you know somebody that he's touched, make a note, invite them to join us this coming Friday from 1 o'clock until 2:30 for a special radio tribute to Bruce Musselman, who went to be with the Lord a week ago Friday on May 15th. All right, well, we'll have some more of that information available on our website and on our Facebook page and different things there. Also, you can address here in a minute if I get my mouse to go around here where I want it to go. If you go, we had a change in the website address, which is why I have to call it up here so I can get the correct address here. Where is godsword.maplenoel.us? That's where is godsword.maplenoel, MAPLEKNOLL.us. And information about the about Bruce and the special program and also links to his past programs and all are all available there at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. And I'll have some links to some of this stuff on our website at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, again, let me welcome you to the program, and what an absolutely gorgeous weekend we've been enjoying here in northeastern Ohio. It's hard to believe getting another gorgeous weekend like this, and summer arrived today. It's been hiding, but it sure arrived today. We hit 88 degrees in my backyard thermometer today, and it was 73 degrees here at the studio in Independence, Ohio. When I got out of the car here, it was 73 degrees, so very comfortable. And I was talking to somebody today before church. I said, it's too soon to complain about the heat. It was a warm day, but after some of this frigid weather that we've had, it really was nice to enjoy some nice warm temperature. I'm not a big fan of the upper 80s myself. I like the 70s. That's a good temperature range. 60s and 70s is where I'm probably most comfortable, but I'll take the upper 80s today after some of the weather we've had this spring. So, but then, of course, Memorial Day tomorrow, and I hope you'll take the time. A lot of communities have, I believe, very unfortunately canceled their Memorial Day ceremonies. They certainly could have had them. They certainly could have made provision. If we can have people sitting out on patios at restaurants and inside of restaurants eating, if we can have people showing up at the grocery store, at other stores and shopping, we could have had some Memorial Day celebrations, but I also understand a lot of people are worried, they're fearful, and of course, when you're a municipality or something, you probably have to fear lawsuits and things of that nature too. So I understand. I may not agree with it, but I do understand. But even if your community has cut back on their Memorial Day remembrances tomorrow, take some time to remember yourself that it's Memorial Day. And somebody said Armed Forces Day is when we honor those in the uniform, and Veterans Day is when we honor those who wore the uniform, and we remember those on Memorial Day who never had the opportunity to take off the uniform because they died in it. And so it's something that we ought to take time to remember, and especially when you think about what God has done for us. And when we think about people who were willing to give up their lives, Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And of course, Jesus went even a step further. Greater love hath no man, but God has the capability of having greater love than what a man can have. And Jesus laid down his life for his enemies even. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. When even we were yet enemies, he still laid down his life for us. But when we think of Memorial Day, we think of people who laid down their life for their friends, for their comrades in arms, for their fellow countrymen to preserve our liberties. And it's due to a long string of people who gave their ultimate sacrifice that we have the ability to be on the radio here tonight, that we had the ability to freely gather for a church service at our church today. And I know we don't take that lightly, because here we had in Chicago, I believe it was today, the mayor of Chicago actually called the police out. A Baptist church in Chicago was holding services, and thankfully they had the doors locked, and several cars full of uniformed officers as well as unmarked cars, and another car that was videoing what was going on came, and the officers pounded on the church doors demanding to be let in. And in the middle of the service, this is America in 2020. Hard to believe. And then out in California, where they're letting bars have people come in, but not letting churches meet. And the Justice Department weighed in on that and said they must be allowing churches to meet. They took it to court. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals went against that and sided with the governor of California and said the Californian governor absolutely can cancel church services. Well, that was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that there may go up the chain and wind up in, of course, in the Supreme Court here eventually. Of course, it may be that they don't want it in the Supreme Court because they may be afraid the Supreme Court will overturn the Ninth Circuit, and then that'll be a Supreme Court ruling across the country. And we've had some good positive court rulings here in Ohio just in the past week. I believe it was in, I want to say Lake County, I think it was, Lake or Jog, I think it was Lake County, where court ruled in favor of some gym owners and said that that Ohio cannot prevent gyms from reopening. And then we've had some other rulings. I believe it was in, I'm going to say either Wisconsin or Minnesota, where they, I think it was Wisconsin, where the state court, threw out all of the rulings that the governor had made closing up the state, the lockdown and everything, said it was all unconstitutional, which of course it is. We have been deprived of due process. We've been deprived of liberty. We've been deprived of the use of our property. We've been deprived of the ability to worship freely, to assemble freely, and many other things that and how Americans have tolerated this for as long as we have, I am just absolutely shocked. And I think of those that gave their life preserving our freedoms, only to see so many just wilt over a virus when we faced greater pandemics in the past. Well, I could go on about that for hours, I suppose, and I have in the past. But we've got some callers calling in, and if you want to call in with a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we have got Nancy waiting patiently for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Yes, I'm very interested in, certainly be listening to that Bruce Musselman Memorial that you're going to have next Friday. I know it's going to be excellent. And then also, I really enjoyed your Bible study Friday evening.
Yes, it was good to have you visiting at our Bible study. And for our listeners, we have a Bible study every Friday night from 7 till 9. It's an informal Bible study.
Mm-hmm. It was just excellent. And it's like, Friday night from 11 to midnight and
Sunday night from 11 to midnight. In fact,
Friday from 1:32, but for two whole hours.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very informative. I really did enjoy it. Believe me, it will not be the last time I go there.
Oh, glad to have you. In fact, I was going to say this radio program actually stems from that Bible study.
Oh.
That was when we first went on the radio, and I think in August it's going to be, I think, coming up on 14 years. We were trying to think about the format and everything, and we thought, well, let's take our Friday night Bible study format and base it on that. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
That's great. And then you did say it originally it was Reformers Unanimous, and I went to Reformers Unanimous for about 10 years at the Cleveland Baptist Church. I haven't gone for about a year or so. But,
we actually started out, we spent a year, and we endeavored to get a Reformers Unanimous chapter off the ground. We encountered a lot of opposition from Alcoholics Anonymous, primarily in our area. And after a year, we realized it just wasn't going anywhere, but we were already used to meeting on Friday night. And mm-hmm. by that time, we were doing mostly a sort of Bible study, question and answer type thing. And so we thought, well, we're already in the habit of meeting. We've been doing it for a year. Let's just keep meeting. And mm-hmm. so that's where it came from.
Glad you did. And then I did take your suggestion from last week about calling Columbus, 614-644-8728. Regarding the testing reduction bill, mm-hmm. House Bill 239.
Yes, and, thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, and continued resuming teaching the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, Bill of mm-hmm. Rights, Constitution, which, of course, the NEA and the,
both of the main teachers' unions are against it, yeah. Or, I mean, yeah, for the bill,
they don't want to teach the founding documents. Well, I think it's because they're atheist or something similar.
Well, yeah, Nancy, if you think about it, when people know what our freedoms are, what our liberties are, and where they come from, it's harder to convince them to give them up as easily. But if you don't know what they are, and you don't know and understand why we have them. It's a lot easier to deprive people of their liberties when they don't know what they are, why they have them.
And
for our listeners, that's House Bill number 239. And what this does, it's titled Reduce End of Course Assessments Require Testing Work Groups. And it'll end the testing that takes place regarding America's founding documents. That would be the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Federalist Letters, the Anti-Federalist Letters, also the Northwest Ordinance, which was the first governing document for this part of the country, and then the Ohio Constitution. I believe there might be a few other things in there. And the main teachers' unions are very definitely leaning to the left, and they don't want people to understand what these are. When you take away the testing requirements, when push comes to shove and they're running out of time, they're going to drop the stuff that's not tested on. And this bill, which of course Chris Long of the Ohio Christian Alliance called in last week to mention this, they spent many years working to get this passed, to overcome a great deal of opposition, and now it's under assault. And really, our liberties, to protect our liberties, it's not just fighting, on the field of battle. Soldiers and such not. It's also fighting on the field of battle in the courthouses and in the state houses and in the county halls of county government in local townships and villages and cities and then of course on the federal level, a constant battle not only to secure this type of legislation, but to preserve it. And we cannot lay down on the job. The other side is always at it, always trying to find a weak spot. And so we need to be ever vigilant. Let me give out a website for our listeners here. It's ohiohouse.gov. I'm sorry, ohiohouse.gov. And if you go there, you can click on the link for legislation. It'll have a link right there that you can look at, and it'll give you. This is ohiohouse.gov, and I'm looking at the bar right now. It's got home, representatives, committee, session, and then legislation. And you'll see legislation search, and if you click on that, you'll get a search box, and you can just put in there HB 239, and you'll find out its status. Now, it was in committee, they were supposed to have some hearings, and they did not vote on it this past week. They ended up putting off the vote. So the status right now is it's still there in the committee. In fact, let me call up the committee things right here. Let's see if there's any adjustments on there. May 28th, it was a first hearing, so we're down to May 20th. That's right, it was May 20th that last Wednesday had its fourth hearing. And here's the people who were pushing this bill: Columbus City Schools, Elyria High School, University of Akron, Public Education Partners, Clermont Northeastern Schools, Columbus City Schools, and of course, prior to that, in other ones, you had the Ohio, I'm just going to give the things here, OASSA, the OAESA, the OSBA, and the BASA. How's that? Ohio Federation of Teachers, Ohio Education Association, Avon Lake City Schools. These are the people who are pushing for this. These are the ones who want to get rid of it. I actually was down in Columbus on June 11th last year and gave testimony against this bill. And all this is available online. So,
It's so important.
Yeah.
And, talking about taking away our freedoms, when the public does not know, the children don't know what our freedoms are from the founding document, I think a good analogy is what the government is trying to do with this COVID-19, taking away our freedoms.
Oh, absolutely.
It's shocking. It's shocking how many people have just caved in, and they just, whatever the government says, wear a mask all the time, or, stay home, and they're totally willing to not work, even if, although a lot of people are rebelling now. But it's just so representative of what's going on in society now. And then on that subject, what I want to know is, do you think that the government can mandate us to cooperate with the contact tracing or testing where they're going to go?
Oh, the contact trace, yeah.
And then the vaccine. I'm not going to agree to any of it. Do you think that they can force us? That's what I want to know your opinion.
There's a lot of difference between what's legal and what's lawful, I guess you could say, or what's right. And there's a lot of things, like, for instance, in California, where the governor said churches can't meet, or in Chicago, where the mayor said churches can't meet. Well, that is absolutely contrary to the Constitution, to the First Amendment. Now, they did it anyway, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it's constitutional, and they did it, and they used the police to enforce that. So the government, yes, they absolutely can and do things that aren't necessarily legal or constitutional. But that's where it takes the eternal vigilance of patriotic citizens to be a watchdog over the government, because see, many people in government forget that they work for us, not the other way around. We do not exist to serve the government. The government exists to serve us. And it's like I told people, you could have best car in the world and you take it out on the road and it's going down fast, and you got, it's a nice car and you're just humming along, and you see something up ahead where you need to stop. Well, you got the best car in the world's got the best brakes that you could ask for. But if you don't put your foot on the brake, it's not going to stop.
Oh, that's true.
Even if you take your foot off the accelerator, it's not going to stop unless you apply the brakes. And see, that's part of the problem. Too many Americans are not willing to put their foot on the brake. They're not willing to say, wait a minute, you can't do this. For instance, you know, every public official and everybody in the military and everybody that serves as a police officer, and all, we take an oath. I took an oath when I went into the United States Air Force. And part of that oath is to defend the United States Constitution, Constitution of America, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And there's a thing called nullification. We got less than a minute to, before the break, so it's hard to describe it. But essentially, we're called to not support unconstitutional edicts. And when the people who are supposed to close down or reign in the government don't, then we got a real problem. And that's where we need to pray for our country, Nancy. So I want to thank you for, I know you pray.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And appreciate that. Well, we're out of time on this segment. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word. I encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Or you can check us out. I've been experimenting and mentioning our USA.life page. If you're looking for an alternative to Facebook where you don't get the censorship and you don't get Big Brother chiming in saying we don't like what you're posting and we're going to let other people know that you're not to be trusted, try USA.life/livewithpastoral. That's USA.life. /livewithpastoral. It's free to sign up for the basic service. And as a qualification here on this, I do not get anything for mentioning them. I guess the only thing that you could say I get from mentioning this is if you go online and you look up our page at usa.life/livewithpastoral and you like us there, that gives us some likes. So I guess I can get some likes out of this. That's the biggest thing. But we have been getting a number here on this just in the last week or so. We've gotten, I think we more than doubled in just the last week or so. Now, you know, more than doubled sounds good, but you remember twice zero is still zero. We got more than that. Twice one is only two. What are we at right now? 21. We are at 21, and I know that's a far cry from what some people might have, but hey, we're new to that. So you can check us out, usa.life/livewithpastoral. And if you like the format and you like what's on there, you can consider getting a freebie account. I know they've got paid accounts just like a lot of things do, but you get a freebie account as well. And let me encourage you to try that out. And there's also some information there regarding the special radio tribute. I remind you that again this coming Friday at 1 o'clock until 2:30 here on AM 1220. The Word, special radio tribute to Bruce Musselman, passed away, went to be with the Lord May 15th, little over a week ago, and radio longtime radio preacher, Bible teacher, evangelist, church planner, faithful servant of the Lord, and Pastor Andy Rusnacko, Pastor John Lutz, Brother Gary Meeks, and myself will be hosting a special hour-and-a-half program. We'll have various guests calling in, and it'll be right here on AM 1220, The Word, from 1 o'clock until 2:30, and you can also follow it online at whkwradio.com. All right, well, we're going to get back to our telephones here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Tom waiting, and Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al. Well, listen, I'm not on Facebook, but I like you anyway.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that, Tom.
So anyway, you know, I guess I misunderstood you last week. I thought your tribute to Bruce Musselman was going to be this past Friday.
No. Actually, we wanted to have a little time so we can get things lined up, together.
I was looking for you Friday. And, you know, and I thought, well, I guess the special isn't on today, so.
Yeah, it'll be this coming Friday, which is May the 29th.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you also catch the news this past week that another servant of God went home to be?
Oh, Ravi Zacharias.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that ever had the privilege of listening to that intelligent man, what a wonderful blessing he was for me a few times that I tuned into him.
You know, and it's kind of interesting when you look at his past. He grew up in India, I believe it was.
Yes.
And he was kind of a rebellious young man.
Yeah.
And God got a hold of his heart. And
he talked to universities all over the country, all over the world, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I Moody used to carry him, and I used to listen to him on Moody.
I've seen a number of his materials online, and I've even had some of his books. And he is what people would call an apologist, meaning right. that he gives reasons for what we believe and why we believe things from the Bible, a defense of the faith.
He's very gifted.
Yeah, kind of like what Jude said, where he, remember the little book of Jude where he's writing there, and I always thought this was interesting. Let me flip over there. There's only one chapter in the little book of Jude. It's the second to the last book in the Bible. Revelation is the last book after that. But he says in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter, so it'd be chapter 1, verse 3, where he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And that's what he did, wasn't it? He contended
Well,
for the faith.
To me, that's first and foremost. Then when Jesus ascended into heaven, what he told his disciples, go into the world and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
My name.
Yeah, and I mean, we need to preach the gospel. We need to see people saved, but we also need to contend for the faith because there's some people, they're just not going to accept it right away. Remember when Paul went up on Mars Hill, he saw the various shrines and things and various idols.
Yeah,
the unknown God. And so he began to tell them about the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth. And some of them thought what he was saying was kind of interesting. Others thought that he was a babbler. They thought that he was speaking nonsense. And, you know, we get the same thing today, don't we? And he contended for the faith.
I've got a quick Bible question.
Yes, sir.
If you have time to take it.
Sure do.
Okay. I'm looking at Matthew 24:27, Jesus will come in the clouds of heaven.
Okay.
Now, in Matthew here, because I get a little confused sometimes where Matthew is according to, you know, what other books are teaching, like, Revelation and so forth. So is this passage dealing with Jesus, you know, that, this lightning come out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be? And all the tribes of the earth shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, I've heard it taught that the clouds of heaven is actually the saints that are coming with him.
All right. Let's take a look here, because in Matthew
I just thought I'll get your professional opinion on this.
All right, let me get down here. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 27.
I'm looking at this as not the rapture. I'm looking at this.
Correct.
As the end, when he actually physically descends and touches the earth.
Right, because when you're thinking of the rapture, when you're talking there in Matthew chapter 24, let me jump over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, okay?
Okay, let me mark that down.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes here.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he's referring to the rapture, which was described in some detail in the previous chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. There's some detailed description of the catching away of the believers,
right.
And that's where the term rapture comes from. It comes from the term caught up, when we were caught up, literally snatched up into the clouds, caught away quickly.
Right.
And then he goes into chapter 5, and he starts in chapter 5 saying this, starting with verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is describing here in chapter 5 the catching away of the believers as like unto a thief in the night. Now, he's not calling Jesus a thief, but what he's talking about is if somebody's going to break into your house at night, they're coming in for what's valuable, and they don't call you up and say, "Tom, just so you don't get alarmed, at 3 in the morning, I'm going to be breaking into your house, okay? So don't be alarmed."
They'd get an awful surprise.
I know, but you see what I'm saying? Because they don't want that. They don't call you. They don't call at 3 in the morning and say, Tom, I'm going to be, or I mean in the evening or something, say, I'm going to be breaking in about 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So it would be helpful if you set all your valuables out for me. I just want you to know that I'm going to be, can you turn the lights on for me? You know, they don't do that. They come quietly with no advance notice, do they?
No, that's right.
They come in without making you aware that they're coming.
Absolutely.
And when you read the description of the catching away of the believers, that's what you see. You see Jesus coming from heaven in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with the dead in Christ. That's the soul and spirit, because when we die, Paul told the Corinthians that absent from the body for the believer means to be present with the Lord. So body and soul go, soul and spirit go to be with the Lord in heaven. We bury the body. When someone dies as a believer, they're separated from their body. The body goes into the tomb, into the grave. The soul and spirit of the believer go to be with the Lord in heaven.
Right.
And so they come back with him in the air, and then the dead in Christ rise first. That's the dead bodies are resurrected.
Sleep,
no, because you're with the. If you're sleeping in the ground, how are you coming back in the clouds with him before your body raises up? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I know the Seventh-day Adventists get awful touchy on that, but it makes no sense. I'd rather go with what the Scripture says.
Pastor, you know, with all this stuff going on, but last week when I talked to you, you said you told me something, and I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, you know, and sometimes we get a little bit rattled by everything that's going on. I'm getting older now, and I get a little more rattled easier. But you know what? Right. Jesus didn't. We don't have a spirit of fear. So I don't
exactly
care what's happening around us. If we're walking close with the Lord, he's going to keep us in that perfect peace.
Right.
And I just wish that there's getting to be more and more Bible teachers that seem to think we're going through this tribulation. And I wish they would come to the right teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
because I think that stirs up a lot of fear in Christians.
Well, they need to read the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 there. The beginning of the chapter addresses that pretty good. But let me get back to your thing about Matthew chapter 24 here.
Because I'm thinking, the clouds, is that the clouds of heaven? That he's not talking about the physical clouds we see. He's talking about all the gathering of the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain are caught up.
Yeah, and we meet the Lord in the air, but he never comes to the earth there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
No, he
we go back up into heaven with him.
He descends to the first heaven and calls us out. Right?
Exactly. Now contrast that with Matthew chapter 24, where it says, in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, so we're talking about this period of time, and in this period of time, you just look a little further back there in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, without taking the time to get into all that right now, I believe that's the Antichrist declaring himself to be God. That's discussed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he goes into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and the Bible says that he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's likely the midpoint of the tribulation, when the image of the beast, the Antichrist, is made by the false prophet, and the mark of the beast is instituted. And Daniel chapter 9 said that he would cause the sacrifices and the oblations to cease. So that's the midpoint of the tribulation. And after the tribulation of those days, Matthew says here in Matthew 24:29, the sun's darkened and all. And it says this in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is quite a bit different than the thief in the night, isn't it?
Boy, that's a rude awakening.
Yeah. Now it says in verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now, that's not the rapture that Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, this is the gathering of the believers who come to Christ during the tribulation period.
Who survived the tribulation.
Right, correct. And in what we see in Revelation chapter 19 here, in Revelation chapter 19, we see where the Bible says in Revelation 19 in verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God." And then it says this in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now, there may be clouds accompanying us, but you look up and you see a bunch of people all in white and everything and all this description. It would look like clouds, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
So coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory, there certainly would be some clouds, I'm sure, but we're also going to see the angels, and we're going to see the believers of the ages coming with him. And and let me also go over to Zechariah.
Something to ponder, isn't it?
Yeah. Zechariah is an important book, and it's one of the last books of the Old Testament.
Tell me where you're referencing, because I'm making notes.
Yeah, Zechariah chapter 14. And notice what he says here in Zechariah chapter 14, starting in verse 1. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Then it says this in verse 3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south." And there's a fault line that goes right through the Mount of Olives from east to west. When they built the I think it's the King David Hotel or whatever that's up on the Mount of Olives, they originally were going to lay it out, and they found it would straddle the fault line. So they relocated to keep it all on one side of the fault line because they were afraid that if this earthquake ever occurred, the mountain would split and the hotel would be split. So they figured it was safer building it all on one side of the fault line.
Well, and I understand that Eastern Gate is still there, but it's been sealed up for centuries.
Yeah, well, and of course that's across from the Mount of Olives, and in an earthquake like that,
enter into that Eastern Gate when he comes back.
Yeah, certainly, in an earthquake like that, we could see an opening occur there, but because it's close at hand, there'll be a great earthquake. The Bible talks about at that time. But see, when we look at this great earthquake and the armies gathered together Jerusalem to battle, and the Lord coming back and clouds of glory and like lightning coming out of the east and shining unto the west and all of this, this doesn't sound like a thief in the night, does it?
No.
This is very well noticed, and the whole world sees this, and it says the whole world mourns. This is quite a bit different than the thief in the night description that Paul gives in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And he gives that description, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because when the catching away of the believers occur, the event called the rapture occurs prior to the tribulation.
That ties in with Revelation 3 then, doesn't it?
Yeah, where we see the focus, actually Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we have the focus on earth, the churches, the seven churches. And that represents the dispensation of grace. Sometimes we refer to it as the church age.
And the Philadelphian church is the faithful church.
Yeah, and then we go into the Laodicean church that's compromised. And
are we true born-again believers part of the Philadelphian church then?
Well, you know, some people would argue, do they overlap, or are we just looking at the idea being which church is applied is the overall characteristic of the age, of the time in which we live?
We're likened to them, in other words.
Yeah, and there are faithful people in all of the churches, but the church of the Laodiceans is probably the most fallen away from the church, because remember, Jesus is pictured on the outside knocking on the door, wanting people to let him in. And some people obviously do, but I've mentioned before about how they've done studies and surveys of evangelical churches, conservative evangelical mega churches, and they find that there's no doctrinal preaching. There's not much discussion of the gospel. There's a lot about how to have a healthy relationship with your guinea pig groomer or something like that, you know, all kind of, you know, frivolous stuff. But
yeah,
that's, and Paul even warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter, the last chapter of 2 Timothy, that a time would come when people would not want to listen to sound doctrine.
Well,
we
know we're in the day when there's already come a falling away.
That's So the next thing prophetically is the catching away of the believers.
Right.
And then when that happens, the Antichrist, because, you know, the Holy Spirit is hindering the revelation of the Antichrist, hindering the mystery of iniquity, as we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yeah. And when the Holy Spirit's ministry is, as it is currently, is ended, that means we go with him because he's in us and we are sealed until the day of redemption. He's not going to leave us behind and he's not going to depart from us. So we go with him. We're caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That's the blessed hope that Paul tells Titus about in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, I believe it is, the blessed hope. And he says after that, there's a comma, and the glorious appearing. The glorious appearing is what's there in Matthew with the clouds of glory of heaven and the angels and the lightning shining from one end of the heaven to the other and the armies of heaven accompanying him and Jesus coming to the earth and setting down on the Mount of Olives and the whole world paying attention. That's quite a bit different than the rapture.
I see. Yeah, so, thank you. Yeah,
yeah,
thank
but
you.
But people confuse that partly because in Matthew chapter 24 there, it talks about, you know, the gathering of believers. But we know from elsewhere in the scriptures, in fact, some of the things that take place during the book of Revelation is statements about vast numbers of people that come to salvation during the tribulation. It's not like nobody will get saved during the tribulation. You know, Paul does warn that there are those that reject Christ that won't get saved during the tribulation because they'll believe the lie. But, you know, here we have the seven seals that are opened at the beginning of the book of Revelation in chapter 6. It says in verse 9, and when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are people who come to Christ during the tribulation. And elsewhere in the tribulation, chapter 7 introduces the 144,000, 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. These are not 144,000 people like the Jehovah's Witnesses say that are already picked out, that are the only ones who get to go to heaven.
This really is an hour for Israel to shine.
Yes, this is a time where, remember the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, it was to finish up the prophecies regarding Israel and Jerusalem in particular.
I see.
And to bring in the millennial reign of Christ.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Have a blessed Memorial Day.
Well, thank you. You too, Tom. I appreciate the call, appreciate the questions, and glad we were able to have plenty of time for you tonight. Sometimes we kind of run out, don't we?
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, God bless. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. And we are winding down right here with our program tonight. And like I said, we're talking about these things about the return of Christ. You know, there are so many things that are happening in the world today. And it's easy to say, well, obviously we're closer to the return of Christ than we were yesterday because, you know, we've made it one day further. But there are things happening at an unprecedented rate around us. How can you be ready? You need to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, do so today before it's too late. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.